Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of The Road to Sleeping Dragon, Michael Meyer. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of blah, blah, blah. And now, Sleeping Dragon was also the name of one of his mom's hippie friends, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, Zorback. Got to get it on. No choice, we get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We are loaded for bear. We got a ton of show planned for you today. First, I'll say good day to Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Dude. Dude.
Say dude a lot.
Won't stop saying.
Just a sidebar thought before. So, Mark Garagus is going to call in momentarily. He's going to talk about this whole Kaepernick deal. Daily Hagar, who worked with me on Too Late, writing many years ago on my late night show, is going to be in here because she had a blog or a column that got picked up and it got spread around. And it was basically, you got to be careful for now we're in full witch hunt mode.
And only there's actual witches.
Right.
In this case.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But I know what you mean.
No, I'll tell you what we're at.
Every rock is being turned over twice.
When we decide, when the news gets hot with pit bull attacks, then anybody who gets bit by a dog, the title is pit bull attack, and then you read in and go, it was a border collie, but it could have easily been a pit bull.
It may have a pit bull's lineage.
Right, because once we get going with something, if you've been out here long enough, there's like freeway shootings, and then a kid shooting a BB gun next to a freeway was, the title was freeway shooting, and then we'll figure it out. So,
copycat.
Daily wrote a blog. It got picked up. Somehow my name got attached to it. And
this is going to be good.
Serial sexual harassment.
Yes. Mark Garagus. So she'll be in a second. And then Mark is on the line as well. Mark?
I'm not only on the line, but what do you do when there's pit bull attacks and road rage?
Yeah.
So then you combine the two stories so that the pit bull's in the car when you get the road rage, and then the pit bulls fight.
So Colin Kaepernick's all over the news. I will say this, on a couple of news outlets, I've heard some talk radio, some cable, and stuff like that. I felt like some of the folks were intentionally not using Mark Garagus's name. Sort of Joy Behar saying the president or Mr. Trump, but not wanting to call him Mr. Trump. They'd say by a notable attorney. And it struck me as weird because when everyone knows Mark Garagus, and you could say notable attorney Mark Garagus, or you could just say Mark Garagus in 2017.
We know
who it was. It was omitted a little bit, and in some of the reporting, I don't know if you noticed that, Mark, or I don't know if that's a strategy, or they're not, I'm not going to give them the satisfaction. Tell me your take.
One of the, you know what the thing is with feeding the media beast? you will find that the places where I have not done an interview don't refer to me by name, whereas if I've done an interview, then I get a little shout-out. So I get it.
It's interesting.
So he's saying do more interviews. Get out there, market your face out there.
No, it's an interesting thing, yeah.
But the way it's played out so far, I think I think people understand it, especially, believe it or not, the sports reporters seem to understand it the best. Some of the best reporting has been from the guy at NBC and also CBS. Fleeman has done some good stuff on this. So they understand what's going on. They get that the legal reporters have been kind of lame. They keep talking about, well, how do you show collusion? How do you do this? How do you, and they take it from the usual prism as if I'm in federal court, and they haven't looked at the collective bargaining agreement.
So, a couple things. The Kaepernick, how did you two come together?
Somebody referred it to me. I met with him a couple of times. I was very impressed. I'm very impressed not only with Colin, but with Nessa as well, who I... at some point, I'm going to figure out if is
girlfriend.
Fiance or girlfriend. And I can't tell you how impressive he was, and he wants to play. And that's the reason that we went down the road of the collective bargaining agreement as opposed to suing in federal court and being stuck there for a couple of years.
So it seems to be common knowledge that the NFL negotiators struck a bad deal as far as collective bargaining goes.
Yeah, I talked to a guy who will remain nameless, who's very active in baseball, and he laughs and says that the 2000, and I believe it's 2011 collective bargaining agreement, may be the single worst one in Major League history of any league.
And how many years are left on that contract?
That's a good question. I think they can invoke and extend, but if we prove collusion, then the collective bargaining agreement is dissolved.
Right.
Depending on how this thing goes, Kaepernick could be this generation's like Kurt Flood,
Yeah,
or like
exactly.
A important figure off the field, but it changed the game.
Baseball player. So there are 3 years plus left on the agreement, so says Gary. Now,
I always defer to Professor Gary.
What you have is Kaepernick and, some potential money flying around and perhaps a spot on a roster. But the much bigger picture is collective bargaining, right?
Correct. I mean, I think I predicted on reasonable doubt that he would see the playing field soon. I still believe that. You can call me Pollyannish, but I just can't believe. In fact, yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers owner, Jed York, and that's obviously for those who don't know where he was before, he came out and said that the owners should not be intimidated by Trump's tweets. And that was the theory of the collective bargaining agreement grievance, which was the owners were intimidated, and because they were intimidated, nobody has signed him. And I think the Titans was the straw that broke the camel's back, proverbial, because that was, nobody could say that wasn't an offense that he wouldn't fit into. And ridiculous.
Just to put things in a context, though, just because we practice transparency here, Mark said he did believe Kaepernick would see the playing field soon, and then off there, he said in March, and he'll be driving a lawnmower.
Oh.
And then he shook his head and said, "Black people." And then he walked
out of the room.
That's an important detail.
So Mark didn't lie explicitly. Don't let him get away with that, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir, Esquire. Yeah.
When do you expect to have some? And I know you had a gag order last we spoke.
Yeah, they've invoked confidentiality, so I am where I am. But, just between us, I can tell you stuff.
Do it now.
The mics aren't hot.
You need a smoking gun. I mean, if you had a magic wand, you'd have an email that said, hear ye, from the poobah down to all the teams. I will threaten you. But how close to that smoking gun do you think exists out there, and or do you currently have anything?
I will tease that for Reasonable Doubt on Saturday.
Ooh. Wow. All right. Like Wait that. A minute.
That's
Wait
a
minute.
Hard
no,
yes.
one's going to hear it on only thing people are going to hear is what we did on Monday on Saturday.
Yeah, no, because I'm going to Gary said he'd splice in a added bonus.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to combine. I'll answer. We're going to tease to all of the ACS listeners. Tune in Saturday, and I'll give you the answer to that.
So I may have to listen to my own show for once.
For once? Check yourself.
Have you ever done that?
No, but I should. All right, but now, so Mark, so there is something out there. You're feeling pretty confident about this, and any change in the Weinstein case in terms of what your thoughts are? Well, you thought he'd see the inside of a courtroom, but maybe not a jail cell, or you didn't have enough information for that.
The one thing since we taped that is now the L.A. city attorney is advertising for clients. I use the term advertising for clients to pursue Harvey Weinstein. So I thought that was interesting. That just came out, I think, this morning or yesterday morning.
And what about...
He can only prosecute misdemeanors, so I don't understand what the point is there, but the statute of limitations would seem to bar anything else.
Why can he only do misdemeanors?
That's what L.A. city attorneys only got jurisdiction to prosecute misdemeanors committed in the city of L.A. Everything else is prosecuted by the L.A. district attorney in the county.
Where does Lisa Bloom fit into this? Because I've heard some bits and pieces of Lisa Bloom, Gloria Allred's daughter.
She was defending, then she wasn't.
Then she's walking, and then there was this thing where Rose McGowan said she was offered $6 million to start a positive image campaign. Now, that number seemed insane to me, because Rose McGowan, while technically a working actress, is sort of not in demand.
Interesting. I thought it sounded insanely specific, but I wonder if it was like, we'll give $6 million towards this. You can spend it, you know, on resources and staff and whatever. You know, she's obviously not going to do the office management, but, you know, maybe a $6 million deal to start a...
The story I heard is that Rose McGowan says she was offered $1 million, then it went to $6 million by Lisa Bloom to come out and say positive things. And I have no idea what that means. I don't know how this looks for Lisa Bloom. Everyone's getting caught in the hypocrisy bear trap, which is you become this champion for this, and then it turns out you're that. You really should have just stayed on the straight and narrow like Mark Garagus. Everyone's always known Mark's a douchebag. He never claimed to be a champion of anybody but money. And now he's insanely consistent.
We know where his loyalties lie.
Exactly. Speaking of which, I got to now go to court.
So all right, but tell us, Lisa Bloom, real fast.
Look, she's in a career correction, I think. She's gone back from Harvey Weinstein to Blac Chyna and suing the Kardashians.
In 30 seconds, Bo Bergdahl, does it matter that Trump is in power and the Republicans versus Hillary and the Democrats?
Yes, that's his worst nightmare.
Okay, good. I know nothing, but I know everything. Yes?
Yeah.
Gary attempts to talk me out of many of my theories. I just had a thought that I know nothing about how the specific case of the law works, but that he would much rather have Hillary Clinton in there than Trump, and so says Mark. That's bad for him. Yep. I don't know why.
He's in trouble either way, but the glimmer of hope, maybe, if there's
Hillary. Now you're an example.
Later we can ask, we can find out. Why? Gary, do you know why? Gary, you're trying to talk me out of it again. I'm wrong. He's wrong. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying, Gary?
Yeah.
All right. I had a feeling.
I was here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I absorbed it.
Yeah. Now, good.
He's slowly bleeding out.
You should have been around when the Black Eyed Peas were writing that song. I got a feeling. No, you don't. No, it's probably wrong.
Tonight's going to be a good... No, no,
no, it's not for you. It's not.
Average at best.
No.
Have you ever seen Night before?
All right. Radio DJs make... Someone's got a quick question. We'll bring a daily in a second. Let me tell you about LifeLock first. LifeLock, man. 1 month since the Equifax breach, man. If you're among the millions affected, your info may already have been out there for 3 months or more. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web, use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, and even steal from your 401k. Now's the time to get protection, and you get it with LifeLock. I got it. The kids have it. The wife has it. We all have it because it's 2017, and we're responsible, semi-sober adults. You should get it, too. You're online all the time. Your info's everywhere. I mean, I'm bringing... I should tell Matt, my computer's sitting in the car, by the way, at the other shop. Ooh. I got to bring my computer in. I got to bring my phone in. I got to fix stuff. My info's all over the place. I got to have protection. That's right.
The computer's burner. Not in the car anymore.
That's right. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you've got... LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, quick question about the DJs and comedians, and we'll bring Daly in. Can I tell you, you want some super vintage Mike August?
Yeah.
Please.
So the reason Daly's coming in is because Mike reached out to her. And the reason he reached out to her is because on Friday, when we're going to Minneapolis, we were both sitting in the first class lounge at Delta. Even though I had a coach ticket, I got the black card, gets you into that. Yep. And we're sitting
Delta
in there.
Coming through.
And we're sitting there, and he's looking at his phone, and he goes, oh, Jesus Christ. And I said, what? And he said, you know someone named Dolly Hagar? And I said, she like CNN International Middle East reporter.
I'm on tour.
Yeah, like, no. Well, apparently Dolly Hagar worked with you over Too Late. Huh? Oh, she wrote a whole thing about being propositioned and so on and so forth. And you're the only recognizable name. I said, I never met anyone named Dolly Hagar. I would remember like a woman wearing full ceremonial garb
and the dot in the forehead, the whole nine yards to Bindi and everything.
I didn't have any of that. I don't remember anyone named Dolly Hagar, you know. And she's like, well, that's the part. And then I'm like, well, what is this? Oh, Daly Hager? Yeah, I know her. And it's like, oh, whatever.
Like, tight bra.
Same thing. Potato, potato.
D-A-L-E-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about as Daly as it gets.
All right. So, anyway, she'll be in a second. Let's see. Let's ask. Hey, John, 38, Minnesota.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah.
I've got a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have just started doing... open mic stand-up comedy about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about a week behind on your podcast, and last week you told the first joke I ever told on the stage, pretty much. And I just want to know if I get to keep telling it, because I anticipate sometime, somewhere, someone's going to come and accuse me of stealing an Adam Carolla joke.
Mike
August from a cease and desist letter.
What was it? I told my first joke, one of the first jokes I ever said on stage, actually rushed back into my brain when I was talking to Mike August about this whole Harvey Weinstein business and like, oh, he's going to sex rehab in Arizona. And I hadn't thought about it in a million years. I said, one of the first jokes I ever said was, you're drinking, you got AA, and if you're doing coke, you got CA, and if you're addicted to sex, where do you go? Fucking A? But then I realized I can't be the first person who thought of that joke. But what was the joke we came up with?
Okay, well, I'm a performing musician, and so my first time at this comedy open mic, and I've kind of changed it since it's not my first night anymore. But the first thing I ever said to people in the, like, hey, how you doing phase of my 3 minutes
the
was,
light's blinking.
I was, when people start doing, I'm a musician, and when people start doing stand-up, or when they start coming to open mics, they do like a Tom Petty song or a Bob Dylan song. So since it's my first night, I'm going to do 3 minutes of George Carlin jokes and just see how it goes. And that was, my
right.
first joke.
Yeah.
And I just heard you tell him that, and I wasn't sure if that's
that's
one
good.
Of your...
That's all in the premise. That's all in the setup. Mm, yeah. It's all in the premise.
Yeah.
That's good. Go ahead and do that. And then I would do a couple. I'd have fun with that.
Maybe Daly can punch it up for you.
Yeah, I would say it's true. If I just walked here on stage, you don't recognize me. And if I brought a guitar with me, you'd pray that I did Free Falling instead of here's one of my own.
Yeah.
Here's what I came up with at my mom's house.
Really draw it out. Like when the band says, like, now it's time for one of our originals. Everyone heads to the bathroom. That's the pee break. That's the beer break.
Right.
Just play the hits.
So what's so different about comedy? We don't know who you are. You're standing there. Yeah, do some Carlin stuff. All right, let's see. DJs. Hey, Ricky, 28, Pasadena.
Yeah, hey, Bald and Gina.
Oh, is this our Ricky from Pasadena?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah, the DJ.
Yeah, well, last time I called you, dude, you weren't too nice to me, and I did some homework. And one of the things that I think would be a big help for you is maybe you should listen to your show, because sometimes you're really mean to people, especially the younger crowd like me.
Mm-hmm. Younger crowd. Yeah. First off, you're only young by today's standards. You'd be grizzled veterans by like World War II standards.
Three
you
kids.
Would have done three or four tours in the European theater and be back with a couple of kids and a fucking job and a drinking problem. Like, you're only a kid by today's standards, where everyone's a colossal pussy and everyone wants to hide behind the calendar. Sorry. Go ahead, Ricky.
You know, if you're going to call me a pussy, things have changed a little bit, old man, and things are just different now.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
But remember, the more they change, the more they stay the same. And that's why I'm Rich Whitey.
Well, that brings me up to my next point, Rich Whitey. I did some research on the top five DJs that you keep talking smack about. And do you know that the top DJ this year made $22 million?
Ooh.
Top DJ.
Yeah, Skrillex makes $15 million. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know how much Union Carbide makes every year? But they still poison the water and kill the indigenous people. Yeah. You know how much Upjohn made last year? Yeah. I mean, pick any big evil anything. It's not, Putin's doing pretty good for himself financially. You checked his FICO score? I'm not saying Putin's as bad as Skrillex.
But, you know. Relatively.
These guys are worthless, talentless hacks who figured out a way to get money from dumb people like yourself, Ricky.
Well, I'm not stupid. I went to school and I went to college, too.
All right. Mm-hmm. Pasadena Junior College doesn't count.
I went to Fullerton JC. How about that?
He did get you.
Ricky, you're to the left.
Gina, you know what? You need to calm him down, because he's getting like my dad, man. He's starting to be a really angry dude, and I don't like it.
I'm not going to comment on this, because I'm not totally buying this call.
Dude, I like it. Now, Ricky, what? Now, you were DJing last time we spoke. You were DJing, right?
I do. Yeah, I do. Mostly in the Pasadena area. I do private parties, bar mitzvahs.
Uh-huh. And do you have any sample of your work that we could play into the telephone?
I could send you some. I know Dawson's he's the old DJ, and he does, you know, the toolbox, and I could send it to him.
You could talk up your song.
I'd like to hear that, but I'd also like to hear you talk up a song. Dawson's pretty good at talking up songs. Do you talk?
Yeah, I'll talk
before?
One up right now. Yeah,
you talk
perfect.
One up? Now, what kind of song do you want? Now, I don't know that you can do Skrillex or something like that. By the way, I've seen these guys. They push a button. Hold on a second. It's a weird thing. At a certain point, they push a button, and then they run out center stage, and they're like pumping their fists and pumping. And the music hasn't changed at all. They're just like, go, 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 go. And everyone's like going nuts, and they're like, over here, over here. And then I'm going to put a giant pie in everyone's face. Like, go, go. And it's like, hold on. You're not playing anything. What did you do? I pressed a button, and then I ran out front, and now I'm pumping my fist.
Yeah. You're your own hype man.
Don't you feel like we could do that at home? Like, press a button and then stand in the living room and jump up and down? Yeah, like,
it's not the same communal atmosphere.
I get it. My feeling is, here's what I happen to know. What I happen to know is, if you can do what Ben Folds does, you do what Ben Folds does. That much I know. And if you can't, then you become Yoko Ono, and this is somewhere in between. That's the way I look. But I always tip my cap to anyone who figures out a way to get paid millions of dollars doing anything.
Yeah.
Even if I don't appreciate it or respect it at all, I still go, oh, they figured something out.
Right.
And they have a work ethic.
The Skrillexes of the world, the DJs of the world, and this is not my genre, but I understand it's more about the building of the song and the construction, less about the performance. Like I said, it's press play at that point.
Yeah. Ricky?
Yeah, that thing's called a looper, man. When you hit, so you loop your track, and
great
then
movie.
You can go out and get the
well, you loop your track, or you loop Kashmir, like you loop someone else's track.
That's Zeppelin, man. I know Zeppelin. I know that stuff because I'm a real musician.
Because he plays
that's right.
Zeppelin.
That's
why
right.
Why don't you do a Zeppelin track and I'll talk it
all
up?
All right. He'll find a. Why don't you find Kashmir? We'll find Kashmir.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming down. It's a beautiful day in Pasadena. Hope your parents are ready for you to rage tonight because we're going to get it on. We're going to listen to a little Led Zeppelin. You know, the Zepp, it went down hard because it was a blimp filled with more than helium. All right, y'all, let's take it all the way to the top.
Oh, Glenn. You just...
Hey, man, A for effort.
He does know what a Zeppelin is.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know? Is there a song that you know, a popular song that you know really well?
Dawson has a migraine.
Yeah, man. You know who I dig John Mayer, man.
John Mayer. Okay. You know, like Wonderland song or something?
Anything John Mayer, man. I could get that going.
Okay.
All right. We'll find that, and then you got to talk that one up.
All right, everybody, just a little bit of gravity from the man. It's John Mayer coming all the way from his ranch in Montana. You don't want to let this get too hard, baby, because when the gravity takes you down, it can take you down to the ground. The core, yeah, let's roll. John Mayer, baby. Gravity, one more time. Swinging it at Gina. Oh, Gina, baby, I love you. I got to get over here, get some gravity on the dance floor. Come on over and say hi to Gina Gray. Gravity.
Gravity. All right.
I
may have turned the corner on you, young son, who's almost 30. All right, hold on. We got too much going on, Ricky. But call, don't
be a stranger.
Yeah, don't take 6 months off in between. All right, why don't we bring Daly in, and I'll take the last call here with Brian with a Y, 33. Salt Lake, Brian.
Yeah, I hope to be a lot more happy of a caller than your last one. I think I was pretty angry.
Part of his tongue was in some of his cheek.
Ricky was playing it up.
Ricky's fun.
Leaning in.
But go ahead.
Good time. Well, I was talking to Gary before this. I have a clip. It proves one of your points where you talk about how basically, you know.
Wait, you were not talking to me.
Don't complain.
Did you give us this clip? You were not talking to me.
Oh, sorry. I was talking to you. I tweeted at you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It's a video from Sway in the Morning. I know you're familiar with them. You were on their show last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where Jackie Chan was on there, and a girl asked him about diversity in Hollywood, and his response was pretty great because he's like, "What's this word, diversity?"
Oh.
Like he didn't even know what it was, and they're like, She's like, you usually hear it from black actors. You know, what do you think of it? And like his response was basically like, you just have to have talent, you know, essentially, you know, like, because you don't hear about it from the Asian community as much. But I just thought that was so funny that he didn't even know the word.
I don't know Jackie Chan, but I would assume I'd like the guy just because he seems like he does his own stunts. He works his ass off.
His ass.
He's very, very humble and has been doing it for 45 mm-hmm. years nonstop. And I am not surprised that guys like that give those kinds of answers. I love, by the way, a great answer. For instance, when the tight end for the Jets, they said he fumbled and they thus made his touchdown a touchback and completely changed the outcome of the game for the Jets. When they got hold of him in the locker room, he just said, I don't know if it was a fumble or not. Next time, I'll do a better job of hanging on to the ball.
Wow. It won't be a question.
Yeah.
Every other guy in the league would just be like, I got railroaded. This is bullshit. How did they
They're
do this?
Me.
That sucks. You know, of course, you're not going to win one in Foxborough or whatever it is.
Some home cooking.
Home cooking. He just went, I should have done a better job of securing the ball. And I just went, That guy's got, I looked it up, he had a dad in the military.
Austin Spurrier Jenkins.
Yeah, and I said, his dad was in the military. And I thought, that's what you get when your dad's, you get a little bit of that. With your, when your dad's in the military, you get a lot of, hey.
When you get beaten with a combat boot for screwing up as a kid. You
that's right. To quick. All right, Dali Hagar.
Hello.
Our Dali Hagar's here. She was the one who wrote the blog. Is it a blog?
I guess it's a blog.
Or tell them how we know each other first.
So I worked a million years ago for you as a writer, not a very distinguished one. I was young, but on Too Late, a show on Comedy Central.
Did I ever make any advances on you or any? We had attractive writers. I think we had two girls and a guy, right?
Yeah, more girls than guys.
More girls than guys, right?
All hot. Yeah, I felt very unsafe at all times.
Good.
No, you were like the most awesome boss. I'm not, this feels ass kissy, but like you were like the opposite of creepy. You were like, I'm keeping my
huge compliments.
So you didn't encounter him that much.
No, like every day. But it just, yeah, there was no creepiness of that show. And like Kevin Hench, who I later worked for on another sitcom, like he's the best.
Well, that was another thing that was, I was looking at the article. The only two shows I recognized was my show and my friend Kevin Hench's show.
So which one of you did it?
Which was not Last Man Standing, which was
Tim Allen.
No, Last Man Standing was the one before. This was Christella. Sorry. He worked on that as well. Did Hench hire you for that?
Yeah, Hench hired me on Christella.
I want another bite at the molestation apple.
Totally.
That's what he told me.
The crazy part is that your name got dragged into it when I've worked for Charlie Sheen.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What did you do with Charlie Sheen? Anger management?
I worked on anger management. And honestly, he was not, like, I didn't deal with him very much, but, like, that was fine, too.
Can I ask you, all right, a couple of things.
Yes.
First off, I worked with Dan Dratch, who worked on anger management, Rachel Dratch's brother, and blah, blah, blah. And I'd say to him, like, what are you doing with anger management? I'm like, well, we got to pick up for 168. It's like, 168 episodes, yeah. How long, when do you have to shoot? We're shooting in the next 7 weeks. Like something. I'd be like, okay.
We never turn the cameras off.
Pickups are like 8 episodes now on a comedy, or maybe 12 episodes, and they'd get like 113 or whatever. It was just that whole anger management theme seemed insane, but that's a sidebar. Do you think, here's what I'd like. You know, they do these things every once in a while where they do the news stories like, you better look out for the highway patrol. They're pulling over folks and giving them congratulations notes for not speeding. You know, it's a stupid news story they do once a year around the holidays.
Yeah.
Don't you think the non-predatory, non-douchebag bosses like myself should either get a that-a-boy or one free pass? Like, you know what I mean? Preferably one free pass. But what I'm saying is like... Do I just get to be the misogynist in town, although I don't do anything to anybody?
Yeah.
I just get to be the misogynist dude from the man show who never,
you get nothing
for the rest of your life.
Never gets a handy in a broom closet.
No. Nope. Worst of both worlds.
That's called lose-lose. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's called nice guys finish last.
I wonder, and I've always said it's my sort of, I have a theory. My theory is your brain sort of knows who you are, and then you realize you have to kind of project something else. Oftentimes. It's my Ellen dancing theory.
Right.
Ellen starts her show off by dancing her ass off. I was at a wedding. Ellen attended. Ellen sat on her chair the entire time for 4 hours while a world-class orchestra played and everyone took the dance floor. And it sounds like a Geico commercial, like happier than Ellen at a wedding with a big band, except for Ellen doesn't dance. So then you go, does Ellen love dancing or does she hate dancing? Because I can't figure it out. And then you realize she loves you to think she loves dancing, but I don't know that she loves dancing because maybe she rolled an ankle earlier that day, but she's at a wedding and she chose not to dance. Now, I don't like to dance, so I have an excuse, but if I did like
just
or presented that.
Just you and Elle on the sidelines grumbling.
So I have this theory that people sort of put forth something and oftentimes they're trying to hide something. The old Rosie O'Donnell with the cutie patootie chub club, and I got a crush on Tom Cruise.
Oh,
and
the koosh balls.
Yes. I love Keith Partridge. He's so cute, you know, like all that. And it's all the angriest woman in the world. I have a feeling that a lot of these people that are going to end up getting fleshed out here in the media, and as the days and months wear on and the people pop up, I don't think you're going to get a lot of people that should be on that list. Like, I'm the douchebag from the Man Show who said women weren't funny, so I should be at the top of the list who's doing the groping in the office because I'm the misogynist after all, right? Remember, I hate women.
You totally hate women.
I don't think they're funny, and I hate women.
Yeah.
So I should be on that list. I don't think you're going to find as many me's on that list. I think you're going to find the more champions of the woman's cause
the
on
Ellen's
that
and the Rosie's
list, like the priest who wants to work with the underprivileged young boys, and he'll take them camping because he cares.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're going to find a lot
Wonderland
of the
Ranch.
Guys who care.
Wait, are you a
so
child molester too?
I'm saying,
oh, sorry.
No, I hate kids. What I'm saying is the traditional sort of guys like me.
Putting out that image.
I don't think you're going to find a lot of whoever those guys are. Like, you know, I don't know, Tim Allen or something. I don't think you're going to find those guys. I think you're going to find the guys who are at all the benefits with all the pink ribbons, beating the drum.
Huge donator.
Yes, I think you're going to find those guys who are involved with more of it because they have a little more to hide than I do.
Yep. It's like when the gay senator gets caught toe-tapping in the airplane restaurant and everyone goes crazy.
Exactly right. All right. So you're here to say that I was not a predatory douchebag.
Absolutely not.
Don't want to put words in your mouth.
Not a predatory douchebag.
And Daly's very attractive. You should know that.
Thank you.
It took every fiber of my being not to reach out and grope. By the way,
she's no Dolly Hagar.
I got to tell you this. The reaching out and grabbing a booby, I'll be honest, if I thought it worked, I might think about trying it. But
yeah,
every story,
it's
never like he reached out, he grabbed my booby, made a honk sound, and I turned into melted butter. Next thing you know, we're back at his pad.
Yep.
It was like, it was always like, he reached out and grabbed my boob, and I slapped his hand, and I told him to get away from me. Like, it's like, why is that a strategy?
You got to be so freaking stupid to think that anyone, Brian, do you think that they would do that for any reason other than to be antagonistic? That's not a move.
My thought is it must work some percentage of the time.
No.
But it does. How can it work? How can it reaching out and grabbing a boob work?
But why do
I can
it?
Tell you unequivocally, it does not work.
Yeah. The problem with Gina is she has self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you're in the same warehouse and a guy yawns, Gina, that doesn't mean he's grabbing your boob.
I mean, one thing about the guy who I did write the article about, who I was legally prevented from identifying, but he did have his own name tattooed on his arm.
Oh, no.
So he's not the brightest.
That narrows the field.
Not the best maker of decisions.
Form of identification.
You know, well, some people are just stupid.
Let's break it down. You wrote the article, I now learned, before the whole Weinstein thing went down.
Which sounds like bullshit, but that happened.
And you wrote the article in what month?
It was probably 2 or 3 months ago.
And the article was originally delivered where?
It was delivered to Lenny. I had pitched to them.
That's Lena Dunham's?
The Lenny letters.
Right. Okay. And they took it, and then somebody else got hold of it. And in this new world order we have where stuff gets put out, and then it's like one of those shampoo commercials, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on and so on, and everything just goes, psh. It's kind of, everything's kind of like a venereal disease now.
Oh, God.
It really is.
You know what I mean? Like somebody just sleeps with somebody, and now that person sleeps with that other guy, and then next thing you know, it's just goes, boom.
Yep.
So they pick it up. So they just, and you have a person and you can't say the person's name because for legal reasons. But how do you know you can't say the person's name for legal reasons?
Because when I originally wrote it, I gave like identifying details. I tried to be as specific as I could. And then the lawyers of the publication, they have to read everything. And they were like, oh, no, you can't. Not only can't use his name, you have to kind of blur identifying details.
Was this
make everyone think it's Corolla.
Right.
He's
real
said women
hair.
Weren't funny.
He's like, well, come on, we all know.
Collection of Paul Newman race cars. Was this person the person? So in the story you mentioned, you went to drinks or dinner or something with like four other female writer friends or people in the industry, and you all had similar stories. Were they all about this person, or were they all similar stories?
No, different dudes.
Okay, I didn't know if it was all
totally
the same
different dudes.
So, can we ask what the extent was with this person? Because that's the other blurry thing is like we don't know if the guy reached out and you slapped his hand or had intercourse with the guy or unwanted whatever.
And like, I think that's yours to tell. That's your story to tell.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like I don't want to say his name just because of the Lenny thing, if it gets them in trouble. But, I mean, I can tell, like, basically, and I wrote about some specifics in the article, but this guy was not, he was not Harvey Weinstein. He didn't masturbate into a plant, as far as I know, maybe after I left.
Right.
But he was basically the equivalent in the writer's room. You know how, like, on sitcoms, you've got, like, all the writers gathered together, and it's super stressful, and you're trying to come up with, like, the best joke name for, like, a Mexican restaurant. People are like, Pink Taco. No, that's already a place. You can't do that.
Right.
It's that super stressful thing. So we'd be in the middle of that process. I'd be trying to, like, think of jokes. I was a staff writer. I was, like, wanted to do well. And he would reach over, and, like, one time I was wearing this sweater, the stupid sweater with zippers on the shoulders.
Right.
And he leans over while I'm trying to pitch and starts zipping and unzipping the thing, and which isn't of itself, like, sexual assault. It was just fucking up my game.
Right.
And he would do that, like, every day. So he'd do, you know, he'd come into the room and he'd be like, Daly's tattoo's making me hot, you know, or like when I was working, he'd come into my cubicle and like interrupt me and be like, so what are you up to tonight? Like,
singling you out.
And I couldn't work.
Well, you know what I always think about with all these guys? I know Harvey's situation. I don't know his brother situation, marital status. Like, is it just a sort of, this is an agreement we have with our wives, like, you do this, and then we'll walk down the red carpet, and we'll put our arms around each other, and then we'll drive home in separate cars? Or is this some sort of, you know, European relationship where the wife and the mistress shows up at the funeral? Is this some sort of thing? I'm trying to think from a psychodynamic, and I want to get back to this for a second, but I'm trying to think from, like, a dynamic standpoint, like, does Harvey get to return from New York and his wife is just reading on top of the sofa? Imagine one of those giant oversized French magazines.
Definitely.
And how you doing? Good. Can I make you an omelet? No, no. Like, is it business as usual? Right. This is our relationship? Or are we simply here like I'm gay and it's 1960s and I'm Rock Hudson and I can't let the studios or the public find out, so we just have this marriage of convenience and we live in the same house, and the good news is it's 14,000 square feet, so we don't have to really see each other.
My first thought was it's the lifestyle. It's like she's bought in. Maybe there's kids. I don't know if they have kids or not. But
they do.
There's kids. There's the house. Houses, probably. There's the friends. There's the network. Everything. You know, I'm guessing it's the lifestyle. It's like you're married to the lifestyle. You're the guy.
I get that. But it's like Brad and Angelina get divorced.
Yeah, but they can go out and score someone else. Like, I don't know if, well, Harvey Weinstein came. I don't know if, you know, Mrs. Weinstein probably with the kids. And
I'd throw her one. If she was in my writer's room.
On zipper sweater.
That's right.
Maybe she was the one woman that the boob grab worked on.
Yeah.
The party plan and all that. And she's like, yes, we'll be married in spring. Yeah.
So
it worked.
What is there? I mean, what we heard is annoying and crosses into some territory, but it's not boob grab material.
Did
that happen?
Nobody ever grabbed my boob.
Didn't he get Cheetos in your boobs?
Maybe technically. He did literally do this once. Like, he was eating Cheetos, and he just stuck one, again, while I'm trying to pitch, into my cleavage. Just kind of resting. It was like a hot day on a tank top, you know, so I felt like, okay, maybe what I wore actually did cause this to happen. But no, he wasn't a grabber, and none of the things I've encountered have involved that, but they have involved married producers who are like, you know, basically your boss, you know, texting at like 11:30 at night being like, hey, let's go get some pie. Literally pie. So stuff where you feel like if you say no, your job might be in danger, that kind of shit.
And the Cheeto thing's pretty common, because I worked at a very large corporation while I was sitting at my desk trying to work, and the boss stuck two pencils down my pants while I was working. Indeed. Since I've been in Los Angeles.
Mm.
I mean, I happen to work for the Adam Carolla Show. I'm not saying that's who I have. No. It was before.
Really?
It's a large corporation.
They get, you know, the thing, Dr. Drew always used to tell me that when guys get in a position of power, their testosterone levels go up.
I buy it.
And and I wonder how much of this is like biologically driven, not the Harvey Weinstein, but the sort of just I'm the big rooster in the hen house. Like I need to do things. Meaning if you did that to a fellow employee, you'd be fired. But I, who am now dripping with testosterone for the first time ever, because I wasn't the captain of the football team, I'm now infused with some newfound testosterone. I'll walk around and do little indicators that I'm in charge.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I think you're right.
We're also lucky we're all Valley on the football team. Thank God you were. Think of what a monster you'd be today.
Yeah,
though there's an element I think that's true with me that I was an All Valley football player, so I got it out of my system a little bit, and then B, I just got my ass kicked by life for so long that by the time I was the boss, I never felt like the boss.
Well, and you know what it's like to be assaulted multiple times, so you didn't want to put some people.
Exactly. The stuff my friends have done.
Thank you.
I mean, the stuff. That I tell Lena I got to write a blog because the stuff that I had done to me was absolutely insane.
Dear ladies, you think you got it bad?
Oh yeah.
But now so what do you think? But you must have heard some Weinstein stories. You must have known people.
Oh, sure.
I mean, everybody
Cosby,
kind of
same.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would hear. I didn't even hear Cosby sexual stories. I just heard what a colossal prick he was, and I heard more Weinstein colossal prick stories than this. You guys got to realize that these guys are both. They're
nice fellows.
They're predators and colossal douchebags at the same time. So for you, Daly, I think you should write a. I think we need more positive stories. I think we need more positive stories.
For the betterment of society.
For the betterment of society. We need to have an honest dialogue about who isn't a lech. And you should probably entitle your next blog entry, Adam Carolla, Hero.
Totally.
To women everywhere.
Adam Carolla, not all heroes wear capes.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is true, though. Like, the bosses I've had who've been cool, like, kind of make the shitty ones. And there's kind of a thing, like, you don't want to complain about your boss. And you never know why you were fired from something. It's like my friend who dumped her boyfriend because his balls smelled bad. Like, she didn't tell him that. Like, he's probably like, yeah, it was too much man for her. Yeah. You know, everybody's got, like, a false narrative. But I do feel like it's good to, like, shout out, like, hey, these guys are good. Like, act like, and they're successful. And be like them. Don't
Thank
be a
you.
Dick.
For every Adam Carolla, there's a Daniel Kelsey. They want them lumped in the same.
No, God, no.
That's right. Hey, buddy. Daly Hagar. Daly, thank you for coming in and straightening this out
Thanks
with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so sorry that you got dragged into this.
Yeah, I have a weird reaction of most stuff, which is I don't care. And I also feel like there's a lot of guys who should be losing a lot of sleep these days over certain things they may have done in the past, the recent past, or even the not so recent past. I don't have any of that, so I don't. Like, my feeling is it's the same thing. I sort of say how if OJ was innocent, it's the reaction he would have, which is, "Are you kidding? Bring it on. Like, no way. Yeah, I'll sue everybody."
Like, what really bothers you, and I think rightfully so, is when the information is out there and it's wrong.
Yeah, I don't like that. And I also don't like that I get to wear some, you know, married for 15 years, pretty decent husband, better father, an all-around decent family guy, that I get some sort of mantle as, you know, Neanderthal, misogynist caveman from the Valley. Like, it just doesn't...
Racist.
Yes, right. Racist. Yeah, like all that.
And I don't like people getting in trouble for jokes. Like,
yes.
That was... I tried in the piece to really be clear. Like, dirty jokes are fine. Like, they're great.
They're welcome.
Fun, yeah. Just, but the, you know, zipping my sweater was not really a joke. just creepy.
Yeah, and you felt like, well, I don't know, maybe your employment hung on hung in the balance? Like, if you would have said, hey, don't touch me ever again, like, or I'm going to go complain to you about something, that wouldn't work out well for you.
Right. Well, what actually happened, I didn't come up. I kind of just laughed it off. I tried to make jokes that would kind of make it worse. It would get, you know, and I didn't say anything, but some other guys complained to our boss because they were afraid somehow they could get sued. And, you know, they didn't know what to do. And so my boss calls me in and he's basically like, so listen, the Daily and Blank game, the guy's name, it's distracting the room. So we're going to move you to this other room, which is like the shitty writer's room with four people and no script. And so from there, and again, you can never tell, oh, I was fired for this reason. You know, I might have sucked.
Well, but no, you get labeled, not you, but one would get labeled, you're hard to work with.
Yeah.
You're uptight.
Right. Yeah. So even though I was laughing it off, so that was kind of how it went down at that particular place. Just annoying.
The website, LennyLetter.com, is where you can go. And we'll see your offerings there daily.
Yes, you will.
I mean, not every day, but that's her name.
Sometimes.
Thanks, Daly. Appreciate you
so much.
Coming in. All right. Let's play the game. I forgot I had two female writers and one male writer.
You are a hero.
Yes. It was built like a female.
Progressive.
Reed was his name. Yeah, very progressive. Back before it was hip. All right. We got the blah, blah, blah game. We're going
to...
Ready
to go?
I think we can do that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
And this edition of Blah Blah Blog is brought to you by Veridesk.
Oh, I should tell you, nobody plans to sit all day, but you do it more than you think. You can spend over 10 hours sitting. You don't want to do that. Veridesk, stay active. Make the most of your work day. Transform any desk into an active workplace and encourage more movement in your day. Go up, go down, move around. Do what Max Pata does, man. Get the Veridesk. You put it on your desk. He stands on the skateboard while he's on the computer and, like, works his core over there. It's you end up standing more and sitting less. Helps improve your health, reduce back pain, raise your energy, increase your metabolism, boost your productivity. Veridesk. Sit and stand solutions. Sit right on top of the desk. Nothing to replace. You don't have to drag anything out to the curb. You don't have to do any of that. You try it risk-free. For your health, man, 30-day trial. Try it. 30 days free. That's right. And they'll ship it free, too. Both ways. If you don't like it, send it back for free. Check it out at Veridesk.com. That's V-A-R-I-Desk.com. And let them know you heard it here on the Adam Carolla Show. It's a great product. All right. Go ahead, Dawson.
All right. This is a special Harvey Weinstein edition. The women who chose to speak about their experience of harassment by Harvey Weinstein deserves our awe. It's not fun or easy. It's brave. Is it Jennifer Lawrence, Lena Dunham, or Jesse Tyler Ferguson?
Ooh. Ooh.
Deserves our awe is kind of a weird phrasing, isn't it?
Yes. Sorry.
All right. This is interesting.
Did it say the women deserves?
The women who speak out
it
deserves
it. It actually says woman.
Okay.
The woman who chose
the woman.
To speak.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know why Jennifer Lawrence bothers me so much, but I guess, I don't know why. I don't know why she bothers me so much. And I'm not.
She seems delightful.
I'm not nearly as, I think she was doing a lot of talking about her paycheck versus other actors' paychecks, and she made like $47 million that year, and she was 23 or something.
It's Hunger Games money.
Which is sort of like,
it's
all right,
money.
I get it, but you made almost 50, and you were 23. Okay. But I'm also always jealous of people that are like insanely composed when they're 21. Because when I was 21, I had like a wind up beanie, and I was like, I gotta pop my zit. Yeah. I'll be back later. Who's gonna, you're gonna finish that soda? I had no. These people are like so
poised.
Know who they are.
Yeah.
You know what they remind me of? The people with really good posture. You see, like chicks walking around their shoulders, like they're trying to get their shoulders to meet in the middle.
The
it's like
blades.
Where'd you get that
and the
from?
Feet, like walking out of line.
Yes. Like why are you so good? Like where? I'm raw. I'm like a pill bug.
What a hybrid world.
Yeah. It's like where did this come from at that age?
Yeah.
You know?
How dare
okay.
You?
How dare you feel good about yourself? All right. Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Should we go with him? Lena, we're just talking about her. Weird. All right, I'm going to go with Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
As well, Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
The blog belongs to Lena Dunham.
Damn it. Mm.
You know the thing about this game? You get no better.
No.
Like, I feel like other games have a curve, like beach volleyball. Mm. You get better.
Yep, eventually.
Your horseshoes.
Enough repetition.
You get better.
Muscle
cribbage.
Memory. Yep.
You get better. This game, you get no better at.
If anything.
No better.
You overthink
I'm
things.
Falling off. Yeah. That's right. Here we go.
He financed the first 14 years of my career. And now I know, while I was profiting, others were in terrible pain. It makes me feel ashamed. Seth Rogen, Paul Feig, or Kevin Smith?
Interesting.
That's
a whole range right there.
Yeah, we love Paul Feig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's great, very dapper. Seth's very good. Kevin's a douchebag.
Oh.
So, by the way, I know he's a douchebag, but I got a little insight. I saw a tweet he sent a few weeks ago, which is he was like tearing United Airlines or American Airlines a new a-hole because he went to go use the first class bathroom from coach. And they said, like, no, that's for the first class passengers. And his thing was like, thank you, United, blah, 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 exercising your power, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, maybe first class bathroom is just for first class mm-hmm. customers. And then coach uses the coach bathroom. Does that mean, by the way, and then makes you think back on when he got thrown off the Southwest flight mm-hmm. because he wanted to add a leaf to the seatbelt or whatever that controversy. And then I'm thinking about him basically ripping $500,000 off of mine, and then I realized, oh, I think he's a douchebag.
This is a thoroughly confusing chain of events, because after you favorited this, I went back and started investigating it. Fans started giving him shit for this, you know, basically saying the exact same thing you said. He then goes on to tweet a picture of a first-class ticket that he held for the flight, but this tweet says he's sitting in coach, so I have no idea what the hell he seems like an insane person.
I'll buy that. Maybe he's insane.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll say Kevin Smith.
It's 100% Kevin Smith.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but that's no fun. I'll say Seth Rogen.
And the blog belongs to Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Oh.
Paul Feig was an actor before he was a director, so he wouldn't have been on Harvey Weinstein making his career. And Seth Rogen was in the Judd Apatow camp with Freaks and Geeks and all that stuff.
Wow, see? Brian.
I wrote Kevin Smith down.
Now, that was not a stab in the dark. That was Brian falling back
on his very few that I knew.
Vast knowledge of the game. All right, here we go.
H. Weinstein, yikes. Disgusting and creepy. So is leader of the free world,
BTW. Oh, hold on. Hey, did we read Kevin's tweet, or was I just talking about it?
No, we saw it.
Oh, you should probably just read it.
Petty United flight attendant told me I couldn't use the first class restroom because I was in coach. Unnecessary abuse of authority rules. Rules.
That's just weird that you feel compelled to go home and tweet that.
Yeah.
Like, I think if any of us stood up and said, can I use the bathroom? And they said, no, I'm sorry, it's first class. Sit down. You'd never think about it again.
Isn't that an unnecessary abuse of authority?
What he's doing?
Yeah, because you're a big famous star, and so you're going to try and take United down?
I'm not sure if you try to get into a concert venue and they say you can't come in with this without this laminate. I don't know if that's a petty misuse of power or that's just a person just doing what they're told to do. You need green laminates to get through this door and you have a gold laminate. That's not a petty abuse of power. Obviously, you have to think like a narcissist to think that way. Mm. I assume somebody instructed them. We have a problem with people from coach coming in to first class. That being said, use the first class bathroom from Delta coach in the least hypocritical way I think a podcaster could.
Okay. Can I guess?
Yes.
The drink cart was blocking the back, the access to the back one.
Brian is spot on that.
That is a great loophole to exploit. With, he's determined to use that first class bathroom.
With two or three other mitigating circumstances. I was in the first row behind first class, which has a little extra knee room. You
yeah,
can now order that now.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, whatever. It's new Delta has. You get 3 inches
bucks
of knee room.
Yeah.
I was sitting there, so I was all the way to the front in coach. Mm-hmm. Number two, drink cart all the way up, mm-hmm. like not in the middle, like up two rows from where I was.
Had 30 more deliveries to make.
And three, I asked. I stood up and I said, I'd like to use the bathroom. May I use the one first class? And they said, go ahead.
By all means.
That was an easy exchange. Hero. Hero boss. Hero pee-pee man. And then I took a shit in that sink and came back with my head held high.
As you do.
That's right. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
H. Weinstein. Yikes. Disgusting and creepy. So is leader of the free world, by the way.
Wow. Strafing.
Is it Michael Keaton, Jamie Foxx, or Emmy Rossum?
Oh, this is very difficult.
Yeah. Very difficult. Add Emmy to the list of women who would hate to have sex with me.
Correct.
I don't do, but is she top 10 material?
She's considered for the top 10, but no, not she wouldn't break our current top 10, which is strong, by the way.
Top 15?
There you're talking.
Okay. Good. Listen,
I reach out to her.
Listen, guys got a drink. That's all I'm saying. Let me have that.
Aim for the stars.
I'm shooting for the stars.
You made it the man.
Okay.
I think I got this by process of elimination.
Okay, Keaton's weird. I know. It's weird when guys are 63 and have this much energy for stuff. Mm-hmm. But okay. Emmy. Jamie Foxx.
I can't see Jamie Foxx ever thinking or saying the word yikes, so I'm going to say Michael Keaton.
Oh, yikes.
Literally, the only thing this is based on is who would say yikes, and yeah. I said Michael Keaton.
Damn it. Who do you got?
I got Keaton.
Keaton, Foxx.
The blog belongs to Michael Keaton.
Ah,
yikes.
Damn it.
Yikes.
All right, Brian's 2-1. Mm-hmm.
Coming forward about sexual abuse and coercion is scary, and women have nothing to be gained personally by doing so. I thank them. I stand for them. Is it Julianne Moore?
Jesus Christ.
Angelina Jolie.
Could there be a more generic statement about this?
Or Christian Slater?
Okay. I got it.
It feels generic. Also, are you guys with me that when somebody dies, everyone doesn't need to make a proclamation?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know. I don't know. I've never met Tom Petty. I appreciate some of his songs more than others, and I'm glad he was here. But I don't need to shout out to the universe something on his behalf.
Yeah, if he was important in your life, or he meant something to you, or a huge fan, you've been to a dozen concerts.
But it's also, for a lot of people, it's a way to redirect the attention back to them in that moment.
Right. I'm going to go Slater just because it feels too generic for the other two.
My first thought was this is a guy, and then as soon as he popped up, he's the only guy. Yeah. So.
Right.
Should I go something different to make it interesting? I want to go Slater.
I do, too. It seemed very, I'm not one of you, but I support you. So I think we all had the same vibe.
Go with whatever you want, Brian. If it's Slater, you'll take the win.
All right, Slater. Unless Gina goes somewhere else.
I'll go somewhere. I'll go Julianne Moore.
The blog belongs to Julianne Moore.
Oh!
Finally!
Lynch puts those Slaters on there, and I bite on it every time.
It did sound like a dude. Yeah. I'm with those women over there.
Women who come forward.
And also was like, it sounded so generic that it had to be crafted by a guy because you couldn't say something like, I know what it's like or anything because you'd get pummeled. So you just have to go Gennaro response.
Sound like a publicist like showed it to him, like, we're going to go with this. Is that okay? And like, sure, go ahead.
Dylan did this game, not Lynch.
What?
All right, good call with Slater, man.
So are we at tiebreaker?
You're tied up. It's tiebreaker.
Okay.
There's one
left.
Also,
there's one left.
I've already won. You guys see who gets the second.
There's one left in the complete game. Here we go.
Okay.
Why is it helpful men speak up? Because that's what this personality fears most. The disintegration of the tacit male support for this behavior. Is it Channing Tatum? Mindy Kaling? Or Mark Ruffalo.
Wow.
Ooh, okay, I know one who it's not.
I do too.
You do?
I'm assuming that Brian also does not think it's Mindy Kaling.
Oh, I don't think it's Channing Tatum.
Oh.
So I will go with Ruffalo.
Ruffalo's such a puss. It's got to be Ruffalo.
I think it's Ruffalo, but I
go Ruffalo if you want. I'll go Tatum. Who cares?
Oh, it's not. Oh, no.
Hey, he could surprise you.
How do you know it's not Tatum? Okay.
The word disintegration and tacit, yeah. I don't think are in his rotation.
He has a dictionary.
I think it's Ruffalo, but I'm out of this game.
Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo, right. And you got Tatum. Who? Tatum? Okay.
Ace, let's get a guess from you.
I'm going with... It's a little too Ruffalo to be Ruffalo. Maybe Tatum is trying to prove he's more than a jock in the city. So just for an insane...
You think I'm Magic Mike.
Yeah. I'm going Tatum.
The blog belongs to Mindy Kaling.
Wow. Thanks for what you were doing for me.
Yeah, he was trying, but you weren't taking the bait.
I appreciate it. All right. Should we just call this one like kissing your sister?
We have a tiebreaker.
You have a tiebreaker. Oh, we have sorry. When Dawson said last one.
No.
Last one in the game before the tiebreaker.
Right, but when I did that point where I announced it's between you two, and I
spoke up then. You did not hear me.
No. Oh, okay. What'd you say?
I told you there's last one, and we have a tiebreaker. This is the last one in the complete game. That's why I asked you.
All right, now
we
have to listen to the tape. I didn't hear that.
He did say that.
No, you said this is the last one.
In the full game, there is a tiebreaker.
That's the part you thought.
Regulation.
The part you said was...
I heard him say that.
No, I said it.
All right, well, now we need to listen. I heard you say that... I said... okay, listen. I said it's a tie between the two of these... So this will be the tiebreaker. You then said we have one more.
Yeah, it's
which
did sound
is
like
weird
a confirmation
because just skip
moment.
To the tiebreaker next time, Dawson.
Well, let's get the audio because you're wrong in more way than one.
Oh,
okay.
This is the first time you're wrong in more way than one.
Okay, did I not say let's have a tiebreaker between these two?
Yes.
Which means I'm looking at the goddamn clock, which is let's bring it home, right? Because it's getting late, and our guest is out there.
So
I totally understand.
I said, there's the tie. You understand my posture.
I understand your posture, yes.
Let's break the tie, and we'll go to break. You said...
And we didn't break the tie.
You said this is the last one, which is weird to me because I now think you must know something I don't with the tiebreaker because you should have just done what I said to do, which is break the tie. Mm-hmm. You carried on with the game, Dawson. My feeling was we're bringing the game home, so I'm saying finish the game. And so you continued, but my posture is we're bringing this home. And when you said we have one more, I thought you were talking about either the tiebreaker or we were going to settle it with one more. That's what I'm thinking.
Let's play some games.
All right. So now, at the end when you said take Mindy, but now we would be tied. Okay. All right. But anyway, if I'm bringing it home, Dawson,
you got
slide one. The last one over and boom, go to the tiebreaker. That's all.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. We'll do it next time.
All right. Bye-bye. Now just do the tiebreaker.
I still want to win.
Real time saver.
Okay. Tiebreaker. I was warned from the beginning. The stories were everywhere. To deny that is to create an environment for it to happen again. Is it Jessica Chastain? Or Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Aww.
Virtually identical.
Good call, Dylan.
Fire crotch.
No room for Amy Adams on this list?
I'm going... May I?
Yes.
Please, I have no insight.
Dawson, will you repeat the first sentence?
I was warned from the beginning.
Okay, well, that's interesting because famous dad.
That's what I said.
But, yeah, I think that's going to be my decision because I think Bryce Dallas Howard grew up in this environment. She's been warned. I'm going Bryce Dallas Howard.
Good instinct. I'll go the other way.
The blog belongs to Jessica Chastain.
Damn it.
I knew it. I knew it.
I knew it.
No, we didn't know anything.
That's right. You got to go with your gut, not your bosom.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blog.
And again, that round of Blah Blah Blog brought to you by Veridesk. I have one. It's awesome, dude.
All right. Simply Safe, man. I understand why some people may put off putting in the home security system. We got the slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? Well, I'll tell you what. You can get the best protection, and you can do it easily these days. All you have to do is go to Simply Safe Home Security. And set up your own system. Dawson did it. I did it. August did it. Top-of-the-line protection. No long-term lock-in contracts or hidden fees. Just order it online, set it up, and do it in an hour. And the batteries last up to 10 years. Peel and stick with a little 3M tape. No pulling wires. It's easy. I did it myself, and your family's protected 24/7. Get 10% off right now. It's Simply Safe. Two eyes. SimplySafe.com/Adam. That's SimplySafe.com/Adam. Get up and running. Get the protection. Get the renter's insurance or whatever else you get when you have your home security system. Or you can get Simply Safe today at your local Best Buy. All right, Michael Myers out there. He's a travel writer. The Road to Sleeping Dragon, Learning China from the Ground Up. I have so many questions about China. We'll get to all that. The guys had boots on the ground right after a little good sports. Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sports. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey. Good sports. Ace is getting talking. Good sports. Shooting jerks with.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Ace, it's Thursday. Good sports to you. Good stuff on Wednesday. It's going to be tough to beat what we figured out about various ethnic foods and how they get delivered to us and how they cook up in a microwave. But let's try our best, shall we?
Let's.
All right, here we go. Let's do a new episode of Over Under. Hit it, Gary.
What are the chances that was going to work?
He's just waving me off. Nah, we'll do it next time. Next week we'll get the over under. All right, let's do it. Over Under. It's that month, Ace. Some people go just crazy about it. Just crazy. Halloween.
Halloween.
Overrated, underrated. You can love it. I'm not going to think less of you if you're like, listen, I love a candy. I love a nice costume.
All right. I like it. I don't like it when the poor people do the gerrymandering and bring all their kids into the nice neighborhoods.
Why? That's a nice thing.
I'll tell you why. Because once a year, and only once a year, you don't do this on Easter and you don't do it on Christmas. And I'm guessing there's the Passover and many and the Seder and things like that aren't celebrated in many of these neighborhoods. Mm. If once a year where it's kind of neighborhood evaluation time, you know what I mean? Like they should do this like they do in corporate America. You know, once a year, it's time to go in for your employee evaluation. When I worked at K-Rock, you'd have to go in and do an air check. You know how this works. Mm-hmm. You sit down with the program director and they basically review your work. It's humbling, but it's effective. Once a year, you walk around your neighborhood and you see just what you've done with it, meaning your neighbors and you. Mm. It's a pretty fair assessment of how things are working out. If you have to step over a dead raccoon that's on a sofa pillow on a dirt lawn and open the door and there's a guy wearing a home arrest bracelet on his ankle and he's wearing a bathrobe and it's open and he's not wearing undergarments and he offers you some razzles with cat hair, you're not doing a good job in your neighborhood. And you need to know, and he needs to get his act together, and you need to get your act there. Now,
was the razzle chewed by a cat or another creature? Like, how did the hair even get into it?
Anything that gets near the floor or the sofa has cat hair on it.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I just was that because I liked razzles, and I was upset to hear that they were infected with cat hair.
Now, if you take your kids and load them into the Aerostar with the one space-saving spare on the left driver's side and drive them into my neighborhood to get my high-end candy. Reese's peanut butter cups, the mini mounds, the fun-size Snickers and all that kind of stuff.
Is that what gets handed out at the Carolla home?
You go to a nice neighborhood, you get the appropriate
candy. I'm not asking what other people are handed out. I'm asking what the Carollas are handed out.
We hand out the good stuff.
The good. Full bar. Do you know those people who go full bar?
I love those people. I love those people. I like the ones that go full peppermint patty, the mint patties. Okay. So then you get that. Well, what's the lesson that the kids get? The kids basically get the same thing that a lot of politicians have been preaching, which is, why aren't they paying their fair share over there? Rich Whitey's got to kick some down. How do we get out of this without these guys out there doing their thing with their full-size mounds and Snickers bars and Milky Way? Look at them. We get over there, and as a matter of fact, they start kicking down more candy to us. You indoctrinate your kids into this world, and you poison them. What they need to do is walk around.
It's Halloween's fault.
Their neighborhood, see just how distressed that neighborhood is, and then wake up the following day with change on their mind. Mm. How could we aspire to be like these other neighborhoods rather than literally dropped off and ripping them
off? Yeah, instead of not feeling altogether right because you ate too much candy the night before, so you had an uneasy sleep. No, go to bed, you have a good rest because you didn't have to take all that fancy candy.
And the next day, it's time for change. Now, also, these kids, I'd like to have a I'd like to see a montage. Young Latino boy grows up in Los Angeles. Mom thinks it'd be a good idea to drive into affluent Bel Air, Pasadena, La Cañada, and get the full-size Snickers and Almond Joy. Then at some point, we see the young boy's face, and he's happy. He's happy. He's got a smile. He's holding a full-size Snickers bar. He's standing on the lawn of the stately manor. He's smiling. He's happy. But all of a sudden, we see his face get a little older, and it changes. And the smile turns into a frown. And we pan out, and he's holding a lawnmower. And the same guy, 25 years later, handed him that bar, yells, Manuel, let's get moving. And he drops it, single tear rolls down his cheek.
But it's not a tear of salt water, it's of chocolate.
Chocolate tear, and he pushes it away. That's what you're setting up.
I didn't realize that. I don't think that's something unique to people of color, because I remember in my neighborhood, which was pretty white growing up, I always hated the kids that when I was nine or whatever, I still was into it and I had the costume. But the kids that were like a couple few years older, I remember one guy. He was tall. Prematurely tall. He was like grown up height was going to end up being. He put on a pirate hat and nothing, just his regular old clothes. Put a pirate hat on, went around ringing doorbells, taking candy.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. I don't like that. That's not intense enough about Halloween for my, that's just taking advantage of
Can
it
I
for
say
candy.
This?
You may.
I'm not playing devil's advocate.
You and Ray did this kind of stuff, didn't
no.
you?
No. I don't want to defend this guy. I don't know this guy. Maybe he's an actual junior pirate who was dressing as a ninth grade American boy who forgot to take off his hat.
You know what? I get closed-minded about things.
I'm saying you don't know.
No, it's not like you're definitely right, but I didn't consider all the possibilities.
Could have been a young pirate who forgot to take his hat off and was dressing like a young man from the Pittsburgh area.
Sounds like somebody needs to go take a long look in the mirror, and that man is Dave Damashek. I don't mind telling you, like Jerry Orbach said at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. What was your best Halloween costume, Ace, growing up?
It has to be Mr. T.
Yes, I've seen the photos of you as T.
I went with a full head shave, full black makeup, full chains. I did it all.
My guess is, because of the way you describe your home life growing up, I suspect that that Mama Carolla, not like Mo Damashek, it was an event. You know, we'd go to the store, we'd look at all the costumes out there. Is Dave going to be Batman this year? Or sometimes Grammy, Mo's mother, would make my costume for me.
Oh, my God.
She custom made. One time she made me a Superman costume, and it was grand, except she didn't know, and she put the S upside down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. I wore it anyway. I was like Bizarro Superman. I would think that you would have to go, Mama Carolla would be like, and just put your baseball hat on or put your football helmet on. Like, just do that. We're not spending extra money to make a different costume. You already have one.
The standard for, there was a couple of years, there's probably like 3 years where my sister was a cheerleader for the East Valley Trojans. And I played football for the East Valley Trojans. So it was a simple swap. You know, Halloween was within the season. It's important to do Halloween within like football season.
Yeah,
you got to have a season in there. And we literally just, I'll put on the pom poms and the sweater and the skirt, and then you put on this, and then that'll be that. Like, I remember that a few times.
It's weird that in over the span of our lives, legitimately, I feel like when I was a kid, it was a purely a child thing. It was not, there was no evidence of my, there was no, Mo Damashek and the old man were not like, well, it's Halloween weekend. We got our zany costumes. We got a sitter and we're going out to the big party. Now, all adults, it's like you're not square, but you're a heel. I'm a heel because I'm like, I don't want to go buy a car. I'm too self-conscious. I don't want people looking at me. Then you have to wear that stupid thing the rest of the night. I don't care for Halloween parties, and I feel like I'm a jerk for not getting into it. So I resent the holiday.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right.
All right, that's enough with that. Oh, you know what? Gary says he has the pizza box, though. Show that real quick for us. Why don't you, Gary? I just want Ace to see what this... we were talking about weird universal things that with ethnic foods. Italian, when you get a pizza, you almost always get the same box. Oh, that's not the one I was talking about. All right, never mind. Whatever. All right, so that's fine. All right. So that's it. We'll talk to you on Friday. Podcast One Sports. Good sports for Carolla Damashek. Out. Good sports.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Here is the case against Scott Peterson. He was cheating on his pregnant wife with a woman in Fresno when his wife disappeared. He had seen this woman a total of 4 times. He lied to the woman about having a wife, and he lied to the police about his affair. 4 months later, the body of his wife washed up in a marina near where Scott had told the police he had gone fishing the day she disappeared. That is the case against Scott Peterson. Period.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold-my-beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
we
company.
We do.
Enough to work together
I
and
think
have
so.
3 kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No, that's correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Charlie, not sure.
if you said Apocalypse Now.
Charlie, don't surf!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
And in Nicaragua, they probably call surfing surfing, right?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Like, it should be exactly the same.
Like Coca-Cola or something? Yeah. So it's like one of our things
not
or
like
one of Hawaiian things?
Or charf.
Michael Meyer is here. The book, The Road to Sleeping Dragon, Learning China from the Ground Up. It's available now on Amazon, and you can just bookmark us at Adam Carolla and just click through. It helps the pirate ship. Good to see you, Michael.
Thanks for having me. I feel like Sonny and Natalia at the Modern Family table read, I imagine. Very excited.
Oh,
I'm a
yeah.
big fan of the show.
Well, surrounded by millionaires.
They were excited for that. So, Michael, I want to know everything about China and all the things we don't know and what the big misconceptions are. And then sort of overall, I keep saying to everyone, like, it's 2017. Doesn't everyone have the internet or access to information? And how come everyone just doesn't know everything? Like, where they, you talk to these people and they go, oh, you got to understand, North Koreans assume that we're going to attack them and they know that they're ready to fight. And it's like, why would they have all so much misinformation in 2017, but is that what's going on? And I know China's not all just one place.
Well, no, that's exactly why I wrote the book. It's hard to get a book published in the States about a foreign country unless it's proposing that we should be afraid of the people that the book's about, or we should feel sorry for them. And so I wanted to do a book that showed instead that, look, I teach at a university now, and students are quite reticent and a little afraid, I think, to go abroad. So listen, it's okay to go. If a schmuck like me can figure China out, anyone can. So this book is, it's intimate, it's vulnerable, it's all the mistakes I made when I first got there as one of the first Peace Corps volunteers. It's funny, it's a little scary, but at the end, I hope it's inspirational. And to go back to what you were asking earlier, Ace, about the misconceptions, I didn't know anything about China before I landed there. So I really did learn it from the ground up in rural Sichuan.
Well, let's see if we can break this down, because among the Asian groups, you have different strengths and weaknesses. Like, for instance, I don't know, I look at the Japanese as sort of the Germans of that world, lots of precision, everything works and all that kind of stuff. And then you take a look at Koreans, like tough, like all during the LA riots in 94, everyone else is fleeing to the hills, and the Koreans went to the roofs and got the hunting rifles and are like, oh, we're going to shoot any schwarz that gets near the front door of this liquor store. Like,
they also speak Yiddish.
They're like combat. They got a lot of range. They're like, they're the combat ready Asians, and the Japanese seem to be like the precision Asians. And where's the Chinese, like, sort of land in there?
The Koreans are combat ready because Japan occupied them from 1910 onwards, and they've been in a state of war since 1950.
Again, the Germans.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. The Chinese, actually, I think if we're going to go with that metaphor, it would be they're like the Americans. You know, it's an enormous country. It's geographically the same size as the States. It's an incredibly diverse country. That caller was not wrong when Jackie Chan said, I don't think we have a word for diversity. There is a word for diversity. It's, what is it? It's, Wenhua Duo Yang Xing, but it's a concept that's been translated.
He just called my mom a whore. He wanted to get that up.
You always got to call people. I saw Kate Blanchett once on Charlie Rose, and she said, my son is learning Chinese. And he said, oh, what does the nanny teach him? And she said, very proud, she said, Bu Hao Haize. And Charlie Rose said, oh, what does that mean? And she said, beautiful child. But Bu Hao Haize means terrible child.
So
the
nanny
was lying to Kate.
Subtle.
Yeah. But there's, you know, the emphasis in China is on harmony rather than on diversity, because it is an incredibly diverse country. It's 56 nationalities, like I said.
And language, dialects.
Dialects, and there's 14 countries that border it. So immigration in China is looked at very similarly as it is in the States, because you have people wanting to get in for economic reasons.
And they actually had a wall.
They did, and they decided it was a bad idea. Yeah. And the Chinese, I should also just add quickly, they have a great sense of humor. It's very similar to the American sense of humor. It's very self-effacing. They love the Three Stooges. It's a lot of wordplay and puns and sarcasm, not the dry sort of British, Japanese, you know, island humor.
What is their population now? You said the land size is about the size of the United States.
1.4 billion.
Oh, wow.
So, they're
like
four and a half times bigger than us or something like that, but the same space.
Same space, and yet there's wide open empty spaces the way you would find if you're driving in Wyoming or Montana here. You know, I was out in an area in the Southwest that's near the India and Myanmar, the Burma border, and it's wide. You know, I thought, again, I'd be elbow to elbow with people, but instead it's wide open spaces and a lot of farming and so forth.
And so what about their economy? There's a lot of, we need to worry about them, and then... I don't know why. I think it's kind of good. I think we're just like the New England Patriots. We just have to worry about anyone who's doing sort of good or could be doing good. I don't know why you need to worry about them. I know they knock off a lot of our stuff, you know, golf clubs and stuff like that.
Handbags.
What is their economy? What can we look forward to out of their economy?
They've spent more years dismantling a Marxist economy than they did building one. I think there's more Marxists who live in Berkeley, California right now than there are in all of China. You know, when I arrived in 95 as one of the first Peace Corps volunteers, and China at that time was quite poor. The average per capita income was $500 a year. 20 years later, it's $8,000 a year. You know, the poverty rate fell from a third to under 7%. And that's World Bank numbers, not China numbers. But to use your term, Adam, which I really like, China is the ultimate rich man, poor man. Which one is it? Is it the skyscrapers, the high-speed trains, the great highway network, all the exports? Or is it a country that still needs Peace Corps volunteers? Because there are 120 Peace Corps volunteers there right now.
Right.
So to go back to what you're talking about the economy, it comes up all the time politically here. There's a lot of good things about the Chinese economy for Americans. You know, obviously Boeing benefits from it. American farmers benefit from it hugely. China's now buying rice. It buys corn. It buys pork. It buys apples and nuts. I think every $5 China spends on our goods, $2 of that is food. You know, it benefits us as far as students coming from China to American universities. It's the second largest supplier of that now. Chinese are the second largest supplier of tourists to America. And so it is a push-pull. I know those numbers, the deficit is enormous. It's a $300 billion trade deficit. But at the same time, America has a surplus with China in terms of services and tourism, things like that.
What did Chinese in general think of America and Americans?
That's a great question. It's really changed, actually, in the last few years. You know, in my 20 years in and around China, people I can't think of a single incident where someone said, "Oh, American, get away, I don't like you." You know, they admire America, they admire its development, they admire its democracy, they study Jefferson, they study Benjamin Franklin, and so forth. But it's really shifted in the last couple of years where I remember talking to an urban planner in Beijing, a big official, and I said, listen, you know, don't look like L.A. Don't make your cities look like Houston. You don't have to make the same mistakes America's made. And he got really offended and said, we have every right to make the same mistakes that America has made. But now in the last couple of years, that's really changed. And it goes back to something you often say on the show, Adam, about maybe, you know, renewable energy, maybe the way to sell this to the American public isn't that it's the right thing to do or the good thing to do. It's the common sense thing to do. It's the pragmatic thing to do. And so in the last couple of years, China has gone a different road from the States. We spend about $40 billion a year on renewable energy here, second in the world. China spends triple that amount now. And it's saying, look, it makes sense for us to start looking at solar, nuclear, wind, hydro, and so forth.
Yeah, I just sell it as, if you tell people, recycle the can, do the right thing, you find a lot of cans out on the street. Yeah. Ever since they said, hey, we'll give you 2 cents a pound for those, I don't see any aluminum cans on the street anymore. So are people better now than they were in the 70s or the 80s? Or did we just give them some reason to either not throw it out the window or some reason for a guy to walk behind the car and pick it up? Either way, I don't think people are good or bad. I just think they just get sort of blown different directions by powers that are outside of their own life. So you find out that you can travel with your dog for free if you get a note online from your doctor, and all of a sudden every airport's filled with dogs.
Yeah.
I don't feel like those people are dripping with dignity. But also just, I don't look at them as weak, cowardly, or criminal. I just look at them as you do what people do when you give them the incentive to do it.
Yeah.
And that's, as far as if you want everyone to have solar roofs, you stop focusing on, you know, this is what Greenland looked like from satellite imagery in 1997. Here's what Greenland looks like. They just go, you'll save a few bucks.
Yeah, incentivize.
And
yeah.
The city will chip in a couple in forms of a tax break. Yeah. And then you get your solar roof.
Yeah. And now, you know, GM sells more cars in China than it does in the States. And China's announced that its fleet, the auto fleet, is going to have to be electric. So it might be a case of the tail wagging the dog in terms of development and trade here, where GM says, well, we have to, we have to outfit our factories to produce electric cars. We can start making those at mass scale in the States then as well. We'll see. You know, it's also, I have to say, Adam, though, the funny thing about this is I don't want to paint too rosy a picture of China, because it is, you know, they're having their big Communist Party plenary meeting right now. Xi Jinping is a dictator. You know, it's a single party state still. So there is some openness. But one thing that surprised me over the past 15, 20 years is how the state has really solidified its power, you know, restrictions on the internet or on freedom of speech, lawyers practicing and stuff like that. It's this weird push-pull. I see so many things about China that I love at the same time. Being back in the States and having national parks and access to libraries with open stacks and so forth is nice too.
Yeah, I always feel, and maybe, I guess there's two approaches. I always feel like if you're a politician and it's, you know, 1963 and you're looking at a black drinking fountain and a white drinking fountain, and like some part of you has to think, is this going to go on forever? And if it isn't, why don't I just be on the side that voted to get rid of it? Right. And then when the history books are written, I felt the same way about like legalizing pot, gay marriage. You know, you can go, hey, but when you're right in the middle of it and you're living it, that's your reality. But I still think you're able to, if you're semi-astute, to step back and kind of go, how long is this going to go on?
Yeah.
And as I step back and look at the world and I just see free trade and enterprising and capitalism and the internet and information and transparency, I just think it all just has to go that way. And if you don't want it to go that way, then you're just hanging on until mm-hmm. you die mm-hmm. and so that you have a palace in your system and you'll be gone in 11 years. And then who cares after you're gone? I can't figure out whether they think this is the way and this is, and they got another 2000 years of this, or is it like, fuck it, I'm going to be dead 9 years. Might as well just enjoy this system that I know.
And the middle class is getting bigger and bigger, and they're getting more choices, and they're able to buy homes for the first time in a generation. You know, their parents weren't able to buy homes. And so the party does understand that its mantle of rule, you know, lies on development. And so the country is developing, but everything is shiny and new, and it's great now. But in 20 years, we'll see what these bridges and airports and high-speed rail look like and what the schools look like and so forth.
So now that you're back here in the States, you live in Pittsburgh, and you're a professor?
I am, and I have to just plug Pittsburgh. Tomorrow is the day that Jeff Bezos, who I know is a big listener of the show, has to decide. All the bids are due for Amazon HQ2, and everything Damashek says about Pittsburgh is true.
Except for Permantes. Oversold Permantes. He oversold it.
He did.
He oversold it. But I must say, when I grew up in L.A., and Pittsburgh was just smokestacks and crying Indians and fish floating in rivers sideways and the steel curtain, and it's a hard-working steel-driving town and everything. And then Dr. Drew and I went to Pitt. And when we used to go do our tours, like in 99, maybe 2000, and Dr. Drew, both of us found ourselves at the end of the show we did at Pitt, up the hill, above the Three Rivers, above the stadium. There's this great area where you like go up this hill.
Mount Washington.
Yeah, it's a little residential, but some restaurants and pubs and whatever. That's right.
Keep going.
And he pulled a chain and a bucket of water came down on him.
So
and he
beautiful.
Laid back on a folding chair and he shook his locks.
Arched his back.
The arch is back.
Way, you can't do much better in the tool department.
Yeah, that's true.
But the next day it was tryouts for the dance squad. So I want one of those moments where I have a super stuffy judge and I jump up on the table and start shaking my ass salaciously.
You break
them
down.
I think we'd all like to see that.
So we found ourselves, both guys just from L.A., never been to Pittsburgh, and just seen, you know, Mean Joe Green and Rocky Blyer and all the smokestacks and the smelting and all that kind of stuff. And we both found ourselves sitting at like some restaurant overhanging on a balcony overlooking the river and Three River Stadium, and we're both drinking a little wine, going, "This is a nice town." Like that was our proclamation. I hope all the sort of steel stuff and the soot in the air and everything is kind of worn off.
It's gone. You know, there's more clean energy jobs, twice as many clean energy jobs in and around Pittsburgh as there are traditional energy jobs. Also, it's really reinvented itself. It's funny, you know, people always do the high-pitched voice, you know, Pittsburgh. Oh, you live in Pittsburgh. Right. That little condescension. Yeah. And I say, well, it's really cute. In your city, you still have humans driving your Ubers. We have robots doing it in Pittsburgh because we have the self-driving Ubers that are on the streets. Carnegie Mellon has a huge robotics program. Pitt has a huge biotech program. Really progressive mayor. City was just named best city for job growth, best city for millennials to move to. I'm a fan, and I have to say, I've lived in Beijing, Hong Kong, Singapore, New York, London. I was born in L.A., grew up in Minnesota, love Minneapolis, but I'm really happy to be there.
Let me tell you what's going on.
Yeah, hit me.
I'll hit you. It's why you want to you want to hire either the handicapped or chicks who were fat in high school.
This is not going the way I thought it was going
right.
to go.
Let me bring it on home. Let me bring it on home. Los Angeles, I've always described as an aging blonde starlet who still thinks they're the ingenue, but now they're 46 and they're not nearly what they were, but they think they can walk to the front of the line when they go to the restaurant. They don't get why they're not getting drinks sent over to them. We coast on our coastline. Mm-hmm. We go, you want to move away? Every time, it's so funny, like anytime Garcetti talks, he's like, you want to move to Texas? Have fun out in the tumbleweeds. We'll see you in Malibu. It's like, we're talking about Texas. Incentives, not where we're vacationing. We're starting a business
where
here.
Where else can you ski and go to the beach?
Where
the
else?
Same
yeah, well,
day.
I'm not talking about snowboarding and wakeboarding. I'm talking about starting a business, and I need some tax incentives and some qualified employees who are trained and so on and so forth. Yeah. And this is not the place to find them. LA coast.
We coast on the
in
coast.
California coast. We're like, come on, it's us, man. Everyone wants to live here. We don't try very hard. Pittsburgh. is overcompensating for the past that I just drew up to you with all the smokestacks and, oh boy, anyone who saw all the right moves 123 times like I did, there's a picture of Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania that has very much like that, very gray, very
industrial.
Very industrial. Yeah. And so, ironically, they're way ahead of LA and all these things you're talking about because they're trying.
Yes.
We're too busy going, you don't want to go down to the Crab Shack in Malibu with us? All right.
You're
have
funeral.
Fun in Odessa.
Pittsburgh's the one in high school with the lazy eye and the back brace.
Right, but now it's working and working and working.
Jesse sucks a mean dick.
Right. That's
isn't that right, Professor Meyer?
That's right. That's right.
Try and get that
I'm sorry, he left. I didn't know.
No, I think there's a dynamic, like a psychological dynamic behind everything, and LA coast and California coast and Pittsburgh's got to get up and prove it every day. And the kind of stuff you're talking about sounds like a pipe dream to LA.
Affordable housing and quality just, schools.
Just
and,
everything they're doing, it's what happens because they're working hard to overcome the deficit they had in the 80s or the late 70s or whatever it was. And also they had to completely readjust their economy. Like, speaking of China, China's making steel and Pittsburgh not so much.
I often say, you know, Pittsburgh is sort of the Beijing of America, and people laugh, but it is. It's reinventing itself, and everything looks shiny and new, and it's developing in a great way. I'm happy to be there.
All right. Well, let's get a little news queued up, and I'll tell you about Tommy John, man. Awkward underwear adjustments have been plaguing guys for decades, but one company's putting an end to that. This is Tommy John. We're going to end that adjustment epidemic. 21st century men's underwear crafted from ultra-light, breathable fabrics that move with you. No riding up. Time-saving, patented, horizontal, quick-draw fly, plus socks that stay up all day. Patented undershirts never come untucked. I hear they got a jammy bottom, Gary. I heard Mark talking about that.
They make it's similar material. They go all the way down to your footsies. They're great.
Oh,
I am so in on that. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. The undershirts, the underpants, they're just better. that go down a little bit further and so much better for a walk or bike ride or workout. Socks are great. It's all there. What do you got to lose? It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. Awesome.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com and now and use promo code Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com, code Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com, code Adam.
All right, we'll do a little news and Michael, hang out with us.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, TMZ reports that the officers who dragged a passenger off of a United Airlines flight have been fired, and a third has resigned. That 6 months after the incident was caught. Adam, I don't know if you recall this incident, so I'll go ahead and refresh your memory. The Chicago Department of Aviation released a report outlining why it fired an officer, sergeant, and suspended two others for their role in dragging Dr. David Dow. You might remember off flight 3411 in Chicago.
I got to tell you, I have a weird wiring. I had such a visceral hatred for this guy. Like, when I heard about the guy who did all the shooting in Vegas, I was like, man, it's a sick world out there. When I heard about this guy, I wished a pox upon him. Yeah. Maybe it's because he's alive and has a bunch of cash in his bank account that he didn't have before this. But I hate this guy. He stands for everything that's wrong with our new world order now.
Is he a hero in China?
It's funny you ask that, Brian, because this did get a lot of play in the Asian media, of course. And the first impulse was, well, they targeted him because of his race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. The incident threw United into a massive PR crisis that was compounded after CEO Oscar Munoz said he fully stood behind the crew's actions. Then he apologized for that. In the
If you're bringing the message back to China... Please have them understand that we're super clear that we are racist, but we're only racist against black people and Mexican people and occasionally gay people and women. But we never are racist against Asian groups. That's the way we roll.
So come on,
at least
come
that's
all.
The way I hear it. Yeah. Right. It's always like black people and brown. We have systemic racism. But it's not for any of the Asian culture.
And then Chinese media, they'll note that. That's always, my wife grew up being told, eat everything in your plate because there's starving people in America. So they'll note that. But then the question always becomes, well, what percentage of American Congress people are Asian? What percentage of governors and so forth? And so that's when those questions start coming up. And it's not in Hollywood so much as it is in government. But it is noted. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, in the inspector general's report, he said one officer was fired for improperly escalating the incident, while a sergeant was fired after removing facts from an employee report. Now, Dr. Dow, who later settled with United for an undisclosed amount, suffered a concussion, broken nose, and lost two teeth.
No, he did
and,
not.
He had
a concussion.
Really hung on to that arm.
Where, by the way, where's the x-ray of the guy and his broken nose? Do we ever see that? Do we ever see the two teeth that are missing, like some dental records or pictures or something? Let's just say he had a great picture of a guy missing his two front teeth. Don't you think it would have popped up somewhere?
Right,
he didn't get a fucking concussion or a broken nose or teeth. He's a fucking money grab, and he should have been kicked off the fucking plane because he was told to leave.
Yeah. You don't want to hear from his attorney, do you? That'll just piss
Go
you off.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Thomas Demetrio, his attorney, said, "This is not a day of celebration for Dr. Dow, who is neither vindictive nor happy about Mr. Ferguson's findings. There is a lesson to be learned here for police officers at all levels."
Which is what? If you tell a guy you have to leave an airplane...
And he digs in.
And he doesn't leave. The flight can never leave?
Yep.
Is that... That's the
that's
message?
That's the lesson.
Throw your
okay.
hands up.
Now
right.
I know.
Fucking asshole. Is a fucking piece of shit. And by the way, something will come up more on him. And by the way, didn't he already have stuff where he was trading drugs for sex, like prescription drugs for sex? What a delight.
There was a bit of a scandal. Gary's giving the thumbs up.
Guy's a fucking piece of shit. All right.
Well, let's move on to a happier note, which I think, I don't know if you actually know about this, but you might be interested. Porsche is launching a subscription car service that lets you drive the Porsche of your choice month to month, enjoying frequent vehicle exchanges, unrestricted mileage, and on-demand access, according to Economic Times. So here's a couple examples. For $2,000, you can get to choose from eight different models, like a 718 Boxster, the Cayman S, and the Cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
For $3,000, you can live a little larger, choose between 22 models.
Is it a 718 or is it a 918?
This one's a 718 Boxster.
Hmm.
could be a typo.
That is a thing that exists.
It's a 718. Okay.
You can get a 911 Carrera S or the McCann? The McCann GTS?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get that for $3,000 a month.
Porsche is smart. They do things right. They really cater to the enthusiasts.
They got that cool test track down by like Long Beach or whatever, right?
Yeah, I gotta get down there, and they got a really good simulator over there, and the actual test track, but like a world class simulator. So I gotta go over there and learn how to drive.
Get yourself a subscription.
That's something that civilians can just pay to go do, right?
I think so. Gary, see if a 918 exists.
I believe yes, a 918 I believe does, but let me check here.
They're just Porsche's like a great. If you take a look at, they should be like a like. When you're discussing brands, you should always discuss Porsche because you go, everyone, take a look at the first 911, you know, introduced in 1963 or whatever it is. Now look at one from today. They have the same shape. Mm-hmm. It has all the DNA. You know, lineage. It's all mixed with tons of evolution, but the same. You know, they never lost their way. They never tried to become something they weren't. Every time, you know, and I remember like... The 1999 or something, like Porsche's going to introduce an SUV. And I was like, what?
Stupid.
No, come on. Not them. Yes, Gary.
The 918, I believe, is the car that they replaced the GT, Porsche GT with. It's a $800,000 supercar.
Oh, that one. Yeah, the 918.
The 718 is just the exclusive of the Boxster line. I believe that's new, though.
Yeah. They've always had their brand. Their stuff is always... Porsche, it's always, the fit and finish is amazing, the smell. It's funny. I had a funny conversation. I was talking to an architect 2 days ago, and he was just a smart guy, and he's an architect, and he's a high-end guy. And so he likes aesthetics and stuff like that. And he likes Porsches. And he drove a Porsche Turbo to meet me, so I knew he liked Porsches, and I was asking me what it was like driving the 935 Turbo Le Mans car, the Newman car, and I said, Porsche is interesting. So all the other race cars that I have, they strip every. So there's two versions of the race cars I have. They're either they start off life as a car, so I try to explain to people what a sort of tub car is versus a tube frame car. A tub car, old NASCAR, like from the 60s and the 70s, they started off as a car. And then they stripped everything out of it, and then they dip it in acid to make it a little bit lighter, and then they put a bunch of bars and cages and pickup points and everything, and they just turn it into a completely gutted race car. But it was a Ford Galaxy in 1972. Like, it started as something, and now it's not. Now, today's NASCAR... It starts off as a whole bunch of chromoly tubing that somebody cuts and welds together and creates this crazy cage with all these pickup points for suspension and engine and transmission and everything. And then they hang a bunch of fiberglass body parts on it that sort of look like a car with stickers of the headlights are stickers. They don't need them.
Oh, wow.
Why bother with the weight?
Cool.
It looks... kind of like a headlight with the headlight sticker, and they've saved a lot of weight and whatever. So that's what the old, and then that's what the tube frame stuff is. So I have cars that are completely gutted and done up like the old cars that I spoke about. And then I have like these tube frame ones that they don't resemble. I have old Cutlasses that don't look anything like an old Cutlass. It's zero like an old Cutlass. You put your head in, it just looks like someone took a jungle gym and turned it on its side and then put a bunch of switches in it, and you're going to crawl into it and sit there. Porsche. All the Porsches start with a key. None of the race cars that I have and any of these cars start with a key. They all start with a button. They have a button in the middle console. Why? Because they don't have a column with a indicator and stuff. It's just
you don't
get late
because you can't find your key.
They just have a button. Right. Porsche, all the race cars, they start with a key. They like leave the key in there, and it's on the left side, which no other car is pretty much. And you have to turn the key to start the car.
Quaint.
And then they have weird little stuff, like the dash is the same. On all the other cars, the dash is ripped out, and there's a sheet of aluminum with holes punched in it and gauges all over the place. Porsche leaves their race cars, they leave the dash, and they'll put like a different gauge or something in, but some of them will still have like a clock or a turn indicator or something. They have this weird edict, which is like, we should kind of be like a car. Like, you should know this is a Porsche. We'll leave the key in. We're not going to put a button. We're not going to hollow everything out. Max Pata, you picking up what I'm putting down over there after seeing all those cars?
Oh, yeah. And I was just telling these guys, oh, yeah, the key's on the left, and then you said it, so...
Yeah, it's weird that they're mindful of their DNA or something. They're like, we want people to know this was a street car that you're now racing, but this is a 911, and you can buy it at a dealer, and you've done everything to this car, but the key's in the same place, and the turn indicator, and even some of the dash off, like a clock in it, like completely useless stuff that feels like a calorie burner, but they do it intentionally. They're very aware of their DNA.
Don't people complain about the weight that adds or not? Or do they counterbalance it with...
Well, they've kind of...
They make up for it by having a big penis.
I think they've sort of figured out that... Well, first off, anything that works is... I mean, anything that can do is out. But the key doesn't really add any weight versus the button. And for the 2 ounces they lose, they get that much more stature or whatever. I don't know. Yes.
I was just wondering if you could buy a Porsche through TrueCar.
Ooh, look at you. So smart. New or used? TrueCar, man. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So when you're looking to buy new, whether you're looking to buy used, let's say you didn't want to go with a Porsche, but you like cars that start with a P, so you went with Prius. Like our own Chris Maxipata did over there. He went used, but with just 200 miles, it's practically new. See what others paid for the exact same car. Get a fair price. Connect with your local certified dealer. Lock in your price. Get your certificate. Have a better, more confident buying experience. Oh, we're on TrueCar now. Yeah, we're looking at a lot of Porsches up there. So when you're ready to buy and you want it to be easy, quick, simple, and fair, you go with the TrueCar. You just visit TrueCar. Some features not available in all states. Thank you. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, according to a new study from Canada, watching sports can almost literally break your heart.
Ooh, so, Vikings fan, I know this is true.
Okay, yes. So get on board and listen closely. Mm-hmm. Researchers found that sports fans watching the game at home deal with an average of 75% increase in heart rate during key points in the game, while fans who are actually in the stands deal with a 110% increase. That's a lot of stress, even on a healthy heart. Watching that roller coaster of a game can put a little extra pressure on that heart and the buffalo wings and cheese fries.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I'll see Dr. Drew pretty in 20 minutes, so I'll ask him. But you know, you want to get your heart rate going, they say, when you're running on a treadmill or something, when it's the pulse up and everything, they want to get it moving, but they don't want to get it moving when you're sitting in traffic, right? So one's anxiety and the other's exercise. And I'm sure Drew will have a lot of thoughts on that. But
well, if you could lose weight through anxiety, I you wouldn't even I turned sideways, you wouldn't know I was here.
I'm going to start watching the Vikings on a treadmill. That's the solution. I will have aerobic exercise.
It's kind of a I don't know enough about physiology, but so the heart rate.
If you wait about 5 seconds, there'll be someone here who will.
Yeah, when the heart rate gets flowing because you're scared or anxious,
or
no good. But when you're walking the dog, they're. There's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew
hasn't even taken
your
the sunglasses
heart rate.
Off.
Let me ask you, what is the difference physiologically? Or you tell me, it's going to sound like the world's dumbest question, but we just did a story about football fans and about how their heart rate gets up when they're watching the game. And then there's anxiety or worrying or what have you. And then there's your heart rate gets going when you run on a treadmill.
Right.
Why does one kill you and the other saves your life?
Because one is associated with different hormonal environment, right? The neurotransmitters and hormones associated with stress are different when you're in an anxiety-provoking situation than when you're, say, exercising, right? It has very different physiology attached to it. But people get very confused about stress-related heart rate and sort of extreme situations and how your body responds to it, a lot of people shut down. They like you, your pulse goes down in certain situations that, say, Gina would go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not the same for everybody. Let's put it that way.
And they say, and then they also have these studies where people who vent on a regular basis are healthier, or at least it has some benefit to them.
You notice how?
Let me finish. Jesus Christ.
So calm right now.
I'm really fair on that, boss.
No, but where does that factor into this?
Have you noticed, remember 20 years ago or so, how there used to be every study was about stress going to kill you, stress going to kill you, stress going to kill you. Have you noticed how few of those there are these days?
Yes.
Much less being made of it, because there should be much less being made of it. It's not as big a deal as was once thought. And there's different kinds of stress. They really think more in terms of distress being more of a problem.
Right.
Than stress.
So distress meaning anguish over something something did to me or whatever, versus we've got to make our flight.
Make our flight is a little distressing and a little helplessness.
But
there's certain. But being in a football game, I would argue that probably is a good thing. That probably.
So what you're saying is somebody who's spinning a bunch of plates. And as a captain of industry in the movies, like where they're walking through and people are coming at him, and they're signing stuff and handing it to him. That guy's stressed out, but it's sort of...
It could be thriving. Listen, those guys, I've treated hundreds of those guys, and when they stop working, they die immediately.
Right. Harvey Weinstein, picture of health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'd say it's a good thing. I have noticed one other thing, though, Adam. You'll like this. When I first started working, I used to work in a dementia hospital, like an Alzheimer's hospital, and I was walking around doing rounds, and I noticed all the men at their bedside were their pictures of them in their careers, and they were all like admirals and captains of industry, and I would interview their families. I go, and first thing I thought, this was like 30 years ago, I thought, well, it must be the stress. And I'd interview their family. I go, was he stressed out? No, he loved his work. He loved his work. So I kept interviewing these people, trying to figure out what they had in common. They didn't sleep. None of them slept.
Oh, crap.
And so I think no sleep is really the big issue in the stress
Hey, phenomena. Let's get Whitey on the street. No sleep, no justice. So I don't feel like some of us privileged folks are getting enough sleep. Met with the – all right, Drew, go ahead and do a little booger sugar and get primed for the show. I know you got a ritual.
It's just meth, really.
Squeezes one out, little booger sugar, and he's ready to go.
Don't forget, Adam and Dr. Drew show, everybody, the ACS show. Come on over to A&D, please. We love you.
Yep, every day. Thanks, Drew. I'll see you in a couple of few. One of the things I discussed with the architect, speaking of sleep, is I'm building a nap room.
Oh,
I've had enough of this.
You don't need a man cave.
I'm going into the bedroom. Don't. And then Sonny's running in there and Natalia's chasing or some guy's walking through with a leaf blower or something like that. No moss. I'm building
soundproof Papasan chair.
Papasan soundproof everything. And I said, and I'll tell you what, I'm doing you one better. Not only is it windowless, not only is it soundproof, not only is it temperature controlled, a couple degrees cooler than what's going on outside. I will put that bitch down in the basement, and I am going to have a setting. It's going to be 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, or indefinite. And there's going to be a digital readout. And when you come in from the outside world with your groceries and your kids or whatever, and you want to know where I am, there's not going to be any... You in there?
You napping?
No, there's going to be a digital clock.
That's good.
And it's going to
have a countdown.
It's going to count down. If I say I'm taking a 40-minute nap and I punch it and I go back and Lynette or Natalia or Olga and they walk in and they see 11 minutes and 39 seconds, they go, where's Daddy? He's in the nap room. They'll know where I am and they'll know when I'm coming out. And they can do the math, which is who's driving Sonny to basketball practice. He's got to be there at 5:30. Well, if it's 4:00 and you see I'm going to be up in 28 minutes, then wait till I come out. If it's 4:00 and he's got to be there at 5 and it says an hour and 20 minutes, then you can come bother me. But I want you to know where I am and no more. Is you napping in there? Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were. I couldn't. No more. Nap room.
Sounds like a perfect plan. I can't imagine we'll ever hear a rant about the nap room.
And you know what else it should have?
Phil pawing at the door.
No alarms. It should just have like a imitate the sunrise.
It's getting lighter.
Yes.
Yes. I'm gonna figure it all out.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Do, do, do,
yes.
Do, 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 do.
Nap.
Wait.
Sorry. That's the right.
It is. Pure
she's going to start real quiet. It's gonna, that's it. That that's is right. it. All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Wen Hua Duo Yang Xing.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Diversity.
Called my kids a pain in the ass. Geico, everybody. Yeah, how about that? You got your to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars? Add that to your to-do list. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why would you want to go anywhere else? One more time, go to geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes and see just how much money they could save you on your auto insurance. You need it anyway. Let's get it from Geico. All right. Yes, Michael.
I have three things to plug rather quickly. I will be at the Commonwealth Club on November 6th in San Francisco. I will be at the China Institute November 15th in New York City. You can go to Amazon and click through the Adam Carolla website to get my book, The Road to Sleeping Dragon, Learning China from the Ground Up. But the real reason I'm doing this plug is to tell listeners that while you're there at that Amazon site, go ahead and click through and find some nice gifts for 7 to 14-year-old girls. You can go through the Amazon site and put in Gina's charity, the charity she's working for, the Art of Elysium, and put that in as the shipping address. Mm. I'm the father of a 5-year-old boy. I would listen to Gina do the pitch, and I thought, I don't know what to get a girl aged 7 to 14 who's had reconstructive surgery and wants to look pretty. But then when you go to Amazon and type in the things that you list on the site, barrettes, headbands, socks, you know, glitter, stuff like that, makeup, it's very easy to find. And I just put in the Wilshire Boulevard address, yeah. And so it'll be shipped there directly.
Well, thank you so much.
It's
you
a
have
wonderful
no
charity.
Idea how much that means. Thank you.
Making Pittsburgh a little bit better, one resident at a time. Michael Meyer, everybody. The Road to Sleeping Dragon. Go get that and shoot him a tweet at China Meyer. It's MEYER. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Us, Thursday, October 26th, Bakersfield. Jay Moore's coming out on that show at the Timbler Brewing Company. A great one. You missed him last time around. He is amazing, yeah, Brian, up on stage.
Looking forward to it.
You'll be back. And then Sunday, November 12th, Oxnard Levity Live for that. I heard that Doug Benson's coming out, but I don't know if I'm making that up or not.
I haven't heard, but I will inquire.
I heard Doug Benson, but I didn't hear Jay Moore. Well, hopefully we'll have an embarrassment of riches. And you can check out all you need at Carolla Drinks and all that kind of stuff. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Michael Meyer and Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Daily Hagar and
Mark Garagos.
Mark Garagos saying mahalo. I'm the douchebag from The Man Show who said women weren't funny.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a message if you'd like to. Voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. And for tickets and info on everything, the live podcast, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.